Okay, there we go, everyone. Good morning. Apologies for that. Hope you're all keeping well. Welcome to today's pre-market trade plan live session for Monday, the 25th of November. The whole idea of this session, as you know, is for us to be as prepared as we can for today's trading opportunities. So this is where we do a lot of our analysis. We'll have a look at market fundamentals, what's shifting, what's driving prices, how that's impacting broad market sentiment. And then we look at a variety of different individual markets and charts, and we'll have a look at them technically and see where we can perhaps position ourselves in those trades. So let's get straight into it then. Good morning, everyone. Very, very welcome to this morning's session. Hope you had a good weekend. Okay, let's start with our risk warning. Take a brief moment to familiarize yourself with our risk warning currently up on screen. As always, just be mindful of the risks involved in trading these financial markets. Okay, so as a quick introduction then, all profitable traders need to consider, of course, which markets to trade. So trade selection, very important feature. Then it's about the levels in terms of where do we then want to enter and exit these markets and under what conditions do we want to make those decisions. Along with risk management, your ability to measure and control your exposure to these markets, depending on I suppose, your analysis. Your ability to manage trades to a successful outcome. We are experiencing quite choppy price action, so it's a bit tricky, it's a bit difficult, but that is what our aim is to do, is to be able to manage your trades as best we can in these current conditions. And trading psychology, all very important features. A lot of education on each of these in your members area, of course, but that's what we aim to do. And this is your practical application to these things. So we address these considerations every day in our European and US live trade rooms. So we discuss these elements, and we're strong advocates, as you know, of maintaining a high degree of consistency in our approach, regardless of how volatile these markets are. We aim to be very accurate with the levels we use, disciplined with our capital, and willing to be patient when required as well. Okay, so let's get straight into it then. Let's start with a review of potential market moving news. So We have a look at bond yields in just a second because there's something very, very interesting there. But the big news over the weekend, which is why we've had a bit of a market reaction on the open last night, is more to do with Donald Trump and his pick for Treasury Secretary. So taking over from Janet Yellen, who was, prior to being US Treasury Secretary, was Fed Chair. So we've got a new pick, which the markets have reacted really quite favorably to, and probably for good reason. Now, we've been talking for the last number of weeks about how the markets are reacting to all the positive aspects of the news flow, whereas the bond yields are pricing in potentially some of the risks and concerns which are actually coming down the tracks. So we have, this is why we refer to these markets as broadly quite mixed, because normally you'd like indices up, bond yields down, or equities down, bond yields up. So there's an inverse correlation there between equities and bond yields. We've got this strange dynamic at a minute where equities and indices are clearly in this sort of little bubble phase of euphoric upward only kind of price moves. And we have seen, since the Fed decided to cut rates 50 basis points in September, we have seen demand for US bonds come right down and yields go right up. And that creates a bit of a problem for these markets, because which side on that fence do we want to sit? And that is a tricky one as things currently stand. So we've got broadly a market positive Treasury pick. He's really going to enforce Donald Trump's, let's say, policy around cutting taxes and looking at tariffs as a, he refers to them as kind of a negotiation tool, but you know, we'd be willing to apply tariffs as and when necessary. Now, that's all well and good, and the markets are reacting really, really positively to that. You know, who doesn't like a tax cut? It means you have more money in your pocket. It means you're able to go and spend as you will. The big question is, where does that, and he's also referring to cutting the deficit by 3%, which is a bit of a tough ask. The US spend over $6 trillion more than it brings in. So it is about, you know, taking, I think, between $2 and $3 trillion off that deficit pretty quickly. So where does that spend, that reduction in spend, come from? And yes, you can lean towards tariffs, but tariff is not really a panacea, because what you often get if you apply tariffs to your products and services, you generally get the same back in retaliation from the other side. It's not a one-sided thing. So these markets are pricing in a lot of the positivity behind these markets, and perhaps the bond yields are unfortunately telling a different story. So this is where we might bring in that bond yield analysis. You only really need to take note of the yield, which is 4.33, and you can compare and contrast that with, so we've seen an upward rally in, sorry, let me slide this across a little bit. Okay, so just looking at these two charts. So this is the 10-year on the right-hand side, and this is the 2-year, which is on the left-hand side. So the Fed have more of an influence over the 2-year. Longer-term debt instruments like mortgages and stuff is far more dependent on the 10-year. So the first observation really is, look what has happened since September the 18th. They've both been on a significant rally. And we've experienced inverted market dynamics for the best part of 2 years, and about 6 months ago they kind of uninverted and began to kind of normalize. And what's happening now is that they are pretty much both side by side. They're both at 4.33. So if you think about it, if you're going to commit your capital, you would generally want a greater return for the longer you tie up or lock up that capital. That's the normal sort of run of things. So what we're seeing now is you're getting the same yield on a 10-year as you will do on a 2-year. Again, it's a little bit counterintuitive. It's not the normal run of the mill for bond yields and the purchasing of those bond yields. And we're seeing them rally. So we're pretty close to the highs, the recent highs in both of these markets. They've both just sold off ever so slightly. But now we are entering that you don't often get these bond yields moving into a period of inversion, coming out of that inversion and normalizing and then going back into it. So the reason why this creates a bit of a problem for the Fed, excuse me, I clicked that by accident. The reason why this causes a bit of a problem for the Fed is it can have the potential of tying their hands a little bit. And it would be, it's basically saying it's going to become more expensive for the US government to access the capital they need to do the things that they want to do, to borrow that money to, now I don't think there's any doubt in most governments globally that there's a massive waste, and to cut waste is a really, really good effective idea, but you know, what does it mean in real terms? And that would be the concern. So the problem that this lends the Fed is we currently have interest rates, and they're more focused on the 2-year. We currently have interest rates at 4.75. And bond yields is a good metric because it's like saying, where will interest rates be in 2 years' time? It's a good little metric for that purpose. And because this has been rallying, it's meaning that the Fed are going to struggle to cut rates as quickly as they would like. Again, 2 months ago, there was an expectation that we could have maybe 8 rate cuts. Now we're wondering if we're even going to get 3 rate cuts. You know, in December, will the Fed actually cut rates another 25 basis points? There's a big question mark over it. And the main reason for that is the fact that bond yields are rallying. It's saying that the cost of refinancing is going to be much, much higher. There is an inbuilt belief with these bond yields that inflation is going to rally. Now, the equity markets are completely and utterly ignoring that dynamic. So this is the overall sort of mixed nature behind these current markets. And if we know that, we can be a little bit conservative with our exposure, and we can probably brace ourselves for some significant volatility. It's not been any different really in the last number of weeks, for sure. You know, once we found out Donald Trump was going to be the next president of the United States, the knock-on effects of that is around cutting taxes, tariffs, and the border. You know, significantly reducing immigration into the U.S. So these will all have very significant impacts on inflation. And if that rallies, that really does tie the Fed's hands. Now, there's an awful lot of talk about growth and prosperity, and they'll grow their way out of this. And that very well may be the case. But if that's not the case, then the US is probably in some significant trouble coming down the tracks. However, we've been saying that for a long, long time, that the downside is building the whole time, as reflected in the bond yields. So it's quite a convoluted dynamic, not particularly easy or straightforward. Hopefully we've attempted to give a bit of an outline on that. So if we look at sort of individual news events now today, nothing of any major concern. And last week was a particularly quiet week. It was quite a choppy week, but it was a relatively, from a news perspective, is relatively quiet. I suppose the more significant news is or should I say, is the fact that we're seeing inflation tick higher across the board. So over the last week and a half in the US, for the UK economy, we've seen inflation tick just marginally higher than expected. So nothing hugely game-changing, but it just suggests that that may be the case moving forward. Is the Swiss economy in here as well? Because that saw a bit of an uptick. Oh, the Canadian economy saw a bit of an uptick. So you're getting these major economies that are seeing just inflation begin to tick higher, and that's a little pre-warning for financial markets more broadly. And European equities are kind of tracking the US equities, and the US equities are responding to the geopolitical dynamics in the US. That's their seemingly only focus, really, is who's going to get a treasury position, and how are Donald Trump and his administration going to apply their, I suppose, the growth-related policies, very growth-focused. And if we see that growth and it's stellar, then it unlocks, you know, all the potential problems coming down the line. The problem is, if we pursue those policies and inflation comes back strong, that ties the hands of the Fed, that increases debt and borrowing costs for the US economy, and it means there's less money available to do the things that they want to do. So cuts need to be made. And the question is, where do those cuts come from? We saw what happened to the UK economy with Liz Truss, was saying, right, we're just going to grow ourselves out of this. If it's fantasy land, if it's like, if you can't balance the books, you know, those bond vigilantes will come and attack these markets very, very harshly. And you could see these bond yields rallying to 5% plus, maybe. So it feels like a little bit of a dangerous game globally. And so far, the markets are really positive on the equity side and the indices, and very negative. And there's a lot of pro-Trump trades, like there was in 2016. You know, anything that would benefit from Donald Trump as president, like Bitcoin, opening up the US to Bitcoin, is a huge game changer for Bitcoin. Things like Tesla, obviously, with Elon Musk, you know, seemingly he's Trump's right-hand man, looking to cut all that waste. There'd be a lot of unemployment coming down the tracks, because one of the major employers in the US is the government itself, and it looks like there could be a lot of people made redundant and unemployed. Now, he has said there might be a 2-year late, you know, delay in that, but over the next couple of years, there will be an expectation for people to potentially be unemployed, which is a bit of a concern for the economy. Just finally, flash manufacturing PMI numbers and flash services PMI numbers. You can see that these industries are contracting, which is a bit of a problem, and they're contracting pretty much across the board. UK as well, just services is just, it's weaker, but it's we're still in expansion territory. And then the US as well, really positive on the services numbers, and the manufacturing PMI numbers actually coming in line with expectations. So that's a little bit more of a detailed review, really, of the fundamentals. From a technical perspective, we can probably argue these dynamics. So we've seen a bit of an upside move in the, we've gapped higher. Now, this is we were always probably anticipating, if Trump did pick someone that was loyal and favorable from a Trump policy perspective, that would probably be a positive for equity markets. And that's pretty much what we've seen. Now, we're still with the dollar's been an interesting one, because we've been on a bit of a round journey, just even Friday morning to Friday evening. and then gapping higher on the open. It doesn't change our positioning. We're still really bearish these markets, and in terms of the euro dollar and the Aussie dollar, and we're still really bullish the dollar. And a lot of that comes with rising bond yields. And again, from a charting perspective, we have a positive sentiment in the S&P and the NASDAQ and the Dow Jones and all the indices markets. There's a positive reaction to this news dynamic. But unfortunately, there's a negative one when we look at the dollar. So again, we normally see inverted price action with indices and the dollar. Indices go up, the dollar comes down. Indices come down, the dollar goes up. So, but we're seeing at the moment, indices go up and the dollar go up at the same time. A little bit uncomfortable, but you know, we can trade that dynamic. There's no reason why we can't. And as you can see, we did gap higher quite considerably yesterday. So we'd always, first port of call is to expect to see these gaps close. Seems to be last night a little bit of stop loss chasing, because we started to see, not only did we gap higher, but then we rallied and we broke these highs before then rolling over to the downside. So that's the problem with the volatility we're seeing, is we are exposed to market making price action. Gold and crude oil. So really what we have is a dynamic where we're quite positive the indices markets and bullish, and probably even more so now that we've got who we have. But what we're also seeing in the dollar is actually there's risk there as well. So we kind of have a risk on and a risk off market dynamic. As far as crude oil is concerned, there is, again, we do have the Charles Besson, who's the new Treasury Secretary, would be very pro drilling oil. So looking to increase barrels, increase global supply to drive these markets to the downside. So technically, we're trading around 50 period moving average. We've been saying for a little while, if we could rally up to $72, we'd be looking to sell at that high. If we can't sell at 72, we'd be looking to sell around 70, and that's pretty much where we're at as we stand. So that 70-32 level is still intact, but this time to the downside. 70-32. Okay. Gold. This is a strong pullback. Now this is nearly a bearish engulfing candlestick. It is on the daily, so we prefer to probably sell it tomorrow if we got that opportunity. And then the indices, we're at all-time highs now for the Dow Jones. So just profoundly spectacular price moves. We could look for indices strength. And the last little dynamic in these markets is the yen. A significant weakness today now so far. Let's see if we're getting a retracement here as well. A smaller one. So it's the euro yen. Excuse me, and the pound yen. So trading, so it's just really a messy market dynamic. And our bias would still, for now, be really in favor of dollar strength. We have to be careful in terms of that gap last night was really quite a vicious gap. But we can still look for that dollar strength trade. Okay, so let's just amend our trade plan and we'll let you go. Right, so we absolutely have this risk on market condition if you look at the indices, and we've got a risk off market condition if we look at the dollar. So So it's mixed stroke risk on market conditions. So there's mild risk on in the equities. However, there is sort of aspects to these markets which, and you know, it is continuation really of what we were saying Friday morning, which is US indices looking stronger along with the stronger dollar as well. And the last one in there is a bit of a turnaround for crude oil, which we wouldn't mind looking at. And it's below that 50 period moving average. So this time it's a sell trade. It's a sell trade below that 70.32. So if we do get that opportunity, that would be a trade worth looking at. Apart from that, we might look for some indices strength trades, maybe around the S&P or the NASDAQ. And we're still at all-time highs again with the Dow Jones, which is almost unbelievable. Okay, but that dollar as well, there's probably a few decent opportunities which we'll have a look at in a lot more detail very, very shortly. Okay, so look, I've just posted this trade plan into the chat box. We're going to have a look at each dollar trade and see if there's an opportunity to get into those. From a market-driven perspective, we kind of have risk on and risk off. So we've got risk on with indices higher due to political, geopolitical, Donald Trump-related reasons. We've also got risk off and a stronger dollar, perhaps more so due to a hawkish Fed, an uptick in inflation coming down the tracks, and bond yields are really supporting that dollar strength trade. So as long as that remains intact, we can certainly look for that dollar strength. And so we're, again, it just lends itself to that mixed overview. So that's a breakdown of these current markets. We have a trade plan that we're looking to at least follow, keep us on the right side of these markets. And we just have to navigate that kind of clear volatility that we're experiencing. So look, on that note, guys, we let you go. Thank you very, very much for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next time. If you are interested in learning how to trade financial markets, just go to thelivetradingroom.com and feel free to connect with us through our website if you need. Right, on that note, we'll speak to you soon. Those of you that can join us for the European trading session, we'll be live there in just about a minute's time. So for everyone here, take care. We'll speak to you soon. Bye for now. My pleasure, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.